to the Vineyard. Welcome to summer. I love summer. And this summer, we are ready to begin a transformative journey in our new sermon series, Awaken to Wholeness. So please join me right now as I pray this powerful prayer from God's Word. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Father, thank you for making us in your image, for choosing our bodies as your earthly home, for being a loving Father who wants us whole and to prosper in all, even as our soul prospers. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So why is this topic so important? Why spend the whole summer focusing on this, to be awakened to wholeness? I would say most of us want to prosper and be in good health, but we can struggle, right? We can even be somewhat ambivalent, or we might say sleepy about this truth. We aren't convinced it's what God wants. We need a fresh awakening. I know that was me years ago. I was totally confused. Does God really care about my entire being? You know, body, soul, spirit, finances, relationships. And to make it even more confusing, I was unaware that we actually have an enemy, Satan, who was responsible for affliction and pain and destruction of all kinds. I mean, I even thought at times God was the author of sickness and pain. You know, he was either punishing me or trying to teach me some lesson. I did not know or understand what Jesus accomplished on the cross. You know, the prophet Isaiah, along with so much of God's word, makes it clear what Jesus accomplished. It was our sicknesses that he himself, Jesus, bore. Our pains he carried. He was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment of our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. That was a shocking revelation to me 49 years ago. You know, Bible translations were very confusing. I basically used the King James or the New American Standard, and I had to use these big, fat commentaries to learn what was the actual Hebrew word. You know, there was no easy online resources back then. But this is what I learned. Jesus bore our sicknesses. That's the Hebrew word koli. And look at what it means. You know, calamity, anxiety, sickness, disease. Jesus secured our well-being. That's the Hebrew word. We say it a lot here, shalom. People think that just means, oh, peace. Oh, no. It means a whole lot more than that. Health, prosperity, and peace. And then by Jesus' wounds, sometimes we say stripes, we are healed. The word healed there is the Hebrew word rapha, which means thoroughly to make whole. So, wow. That is God's desire. That's God's will. And Jesus, our Savior, paid a pretty high price to give it to us. But we don't always walk in that truth. No, because we battle. We battle sickness, fatigue, depression, financial distress, relational conflict, anxiety. We want to be well. Where did that desire come from? Well, we are made in God's image. He put that desire there. He wants us well. He's chosen to make our bodies his home. He wants us to be whole. And this brings him joy. I say, let's bring him joy this summer as we are awakened to and walk in wholeness. So on April 12th of this year, we had a Holy Spirit night. just like the one coming up. And during that time, our good friend Brian Blount shared a very powerful message and ministry and then a prophetic word with our church family. And Brian and his wife, Janine, they planted and pastored the Crestwood Vineyard in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And in the last few years, Brian has actually ventured out. He started an organization called Serve the Nations, and he travels the world, not just proclaiming, but demonstrating the healing power of Jesus Christ. And our School of Kingdom Ministry has actually gone on a couple of those trips with him to South Africa, and we're going again in the fall, along with Daniel, our director, school director, and he'll take a team there with Brian. It's always a great experience. Well, I was listening to Brian that night in April, and he finished his excellent preaching, and he was just getting ready to pray for people when he began to prophesy, or he began to speak a word empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in summary, he said, just as you here at the Vineyard of Central Illinois have experienced over 500 water baptisms in the last year, in the next year, you will experience 500 healings. So he gave some helpful suggestions in regards to our faith and cooperation, which we'll talk more about that in another message, but he had my attention. Now, sometimes in the past, when I would hear similar words spoken, I could get slightly discouraged. I'm like, why? I mean, that sounds so positive. Don't I want that? Yes, of course. I mean, my whole life has been transformed by the revelation and the experience that Jesus Christ is a compassionate, willing healer. And he then sends us to do the same and greater works. He wants us whole. But as a pastor and teacher, I have in the past, when I've heard such words, felt a weird pressure, like an unsettling fear of failure. I would feel responsible. I got to make this happen. And I would actually prepare myself for disappointment. I've told the Lord I'm sorry about that. But you see, when you are a church family that has believed in and practiced kingdom healing for almost 50 years, you have known both the agony and the ecstasy of Jesus' healing ministry. But when Brian spoke, I sensed from the Holy Spirit, kind of he leapt in me. It was like a fresh awakening, if you will. And I grabbed Cassie Schaefer, was nearby, and Taylor Daniel, and I shared that with him. I already knew our summer series was going to focus on healing because we were beginning our one-year Bible journey through the book of Acts, which is all about healing. But, you know, Jesus ascended, and now he sends us, his body here on earth, to demonstrate and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come. And we just read, just on Friday, Acts 3, the story of Peter and John, a very familiar story where they demonstrated Jesus' healing power on a man. He was lame, I think it was for 40 years, since birth. And people were all like, whoa, what's going on? Who are these ordinary people? What? And this is how Peter explained it. Faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Yes, faith and nothing but faith put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. That's the Message translation. I love it. I went, yes. Yes to 500 healings in the next year. Yes to keeping track and celebrating. Yes to sharing the good news to encourage others and build faith. Faith in Jesus. So we're going to begin this 8-week series. We're going to review old lessons from the Holy Spirit. But hey, I'm always ready for new ones. I'm ready to trust whatever God has for us to see this happen. Now, as we laid out the series, our team thought, why not begin with the story that actually launched the entire church, the story of the miracle healing that my husband, Happy, and I received almost 50 years ago. Healing is a very important part of our legacy here and our calling as a church. Okay, so now as I tell the story, I know many of you have heard it before. Don't go to sleep on me, okay? Because I'm actually going to highlight some very specific foundational truths and lessons that remain incredibly important to this day and in the lives of this church family, okay? So it isn't just the retelling of a story, okay? Because it's more than that. And as I look back, I'm so filled with gratefulness at how the Holy Spirit has gently, he's so gentle, powerfully, patiently led us, guided us. And of course, through it all, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the hero. He is the healer. Okay, so both Happy and I were raised in cessationist churches. That just means we were raised in churches that believed all gifts of the Spirit, all miracles had ceased, including healing. And as a child, I, of course, raised in a Christian home, I had heard the stories, even read the stories in the Bible. I even witnessed my father. He was a lay pastor, and every Sunday afternoon, he went up to the hospital to pray for people, visit them. But I never heard any discussions or reports of anybody being healed. Okay, fast forward to the University of Illinois, and I tried to run away from the church and from Jesus, but thankfully, Jesus is so good at this, he ran after me. And the year I turned 21, 1972, and Happy turned 24, we were both water baptized as not only new believers, but newlyweds. Yep, there we are. Golly, such babies. Okay, take that off now. Yeah. So, Happy, having completed his MBA, and he's a financial whiz, he was on track to be that millionaire by age 30. That's what he promised me when he proposed. And I was finishing up my degrees in special education and ready to begin my career as a special education teacher at Weber School. There I am with one of my first classes. Now, about 5 years later, we found ourselves extremely frustrated with what we thought would be a slam dunk, getting pregnant, having a family. But month after month, this did not happen. The local medical personnel at Carl confirmed, in spite of everything they tried, medications, surgery, procedures, they couldn't help. We were not able to conceive a child. And just as an aside, I want you to know, as we venture into the series on healing, we believe in medical healing. We are thankful for doctors and nurses and all the medical personnel, and we believe God often gifts them with incredible skills, okay? So this isn't an either or. We're not dualistic here. Okay, so we're not able to conceive a child. As with any crisis in our life, we get confused, right? Frustrated, discouraged. Hopefully, we are asking, where is God in all this? I know, I was asking, what is your will, God? How can I actually know your will? I mean, people told me over and over again, well, maybe the children that God has for you are those in your classroom that you have as a teacher. Why then was my heart so full of confusion and actually anger towards God? Because no matter how much I tried to believe that, no matter how much I prayed, nothing seemed to happen. Now, I did have a fresh desire to read the Bible. And since becoming a believer, I had faithfully read my Bible, but now I was looking for specific references to healing. And imagine my shock when I saw verse after verse, story after story, of Jesus healing with compassion and power, like everybody who came to him. It was like these stories came to life. And some of you have had that experience, right? Where passages you've read over and over, and then like all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, how did I not see that? Well, I read about Jesus healing a woman with a female problem. She reached out and touched the hem of his robe. And I thought, I know if Jesus were here right now, I would reach out and touch his robe, and I know I'd be healed. But he's not here. Or is he? Well, I made an appointment with my pastor shared with him everything I was reading, my fresh sense that maybe Jesus had a miracle for me. But he kindly, but dogmatically informed me Jesus was no longer doing miracles. That had changed. And I remember thinking, what about all of us today who need a miracle? Okay, that dampened my enthusiasm a bit, but I am resilient. So I still combed through the Bibles, and I found incredible comfort in the Psalms, particularly Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I thought, yes, if I could just figure out how to delight myself, right, then I would get the desire of my heart. So I shared that with Hap, and he said, Di, I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's from the Old Testament. That no longer applies to us today. Thanks, honey. I was confused. I mean, what part of the Bible did apply to me today? You know, the Old Testament didn't apply. The miracles of Jesus didn't apply. I mean, my Bible was about now down to a few pages. I had no idea actually how to read the Bible, even though I had a master's degree in education from the University of Illinois. And I read my Bible diligently every day. Anybody else at times find the Bible confusing? Okay. Well, through all the tears, crying out to God, desperate, Hap and I decided, okay, we're going to search for an infertility expert. This is in the late 70s, so they weren't all that popular as they are today. And we found one at Northwestern Memorial Hospital up near Chicago. And we thought, okay, we made the appointment, drove up there, had all the tests. They got all of our information from Carl Hospital. And I was just filled with total fresh excitement. I knew this doctor was fantastic. I'll never forget walking into his office, and his office was lined with all these pictures of babies that he has helped women conceive. I thought, yes, we're next. Okay. We come home. Excuse me. Happy was going about his routine day in his financial planning office at the Robeson Building in downtown Champaign when a fellow worker, like only slightly known to Hap, came up to him and out of the blue asked, "Did you know God is still doing miracles today?" Now, Hap wasn't even 100% sure this guy was a Christian, but he was intrigued, knowing we needed a miracle. And then this friend issued an invitation for us to attend a meeting in a couple weeks where there'd be a speaker who would pray for people to be healed. Well, Happy told me, and I was interested. Now, let me say this. You never know that on any given day, out of the blue, you will hear a question, hear a statement, read something, encounter a person in ways that will change your life forever. And this was one of those days. And Happy and I will be forever grateful to Scott Reichert. He's the brother of John Reichert, who with his wife Patty attend here. That's Scott and his wife Judy. We are thankful to Scott for interrupting an ordinary day with an extraordinary question that ended up radically changing our lives and the life of this entire city. Thank you, Scott. So, we made plans to go to that meeting, and in the meantime, Hap is working, I'm working, and he comes home from a business trip and announces something very strange to me. "Di, when I was out driving today, God spoke to me." Well, right away, I'm pretty skeptical. First of all, we didn't believe God did that, right? We were taught we have the Bible. Now, did I actually hear God speak in the Bible? No, I was totally confused. But we didn't believe God spoke in other ways. And so here's Hap. Honestly, kind of a lukewarm Christian at that time. I had to bribe him to do Bible study before I let him watch TV. But, you know, it's just what it was. And here he is telling me God spoke. And I'm like, okay, what did he say? He said, well, He told me that when we go to Chicago here in a few days, we are going to get some very bad news. But we're not to worry about it because everything's going to be all right. Wow. Okay, Hap is now receiving his second experience with what I now know is a prophetic word. The first was about miracles. Now this one about, you know, we're going to go to Chicago. It's going to be bad, but don't worry about it. Okay, lesson. Prophecy is real, okay? I didn't know that this precious gift of the Holy Spirit was still flowing today. Now, can some people miss it? Absolutely. Do people do crazy things with the prophetic? Yes. But some people actually hit it. And I want you to know prophecy is a true gift of the Holy Spirit, and we will always honor it in this church family. Why? Well, thankfully, God tells us right here through the Apostle Paul, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Okay. Well, we're going to find out if this prophecy was good because we're heading to Chicago in just a few days. Okay, we arrived at Northwestern Memorial, ushered into the doctor's office, ready to hear the test results, be encouraged, you know, in some way. Maybe he has bad news, but he has miracles he can perform through all of his medical expertise. That's not what we heard. Instead, we were told, in addition to all the other problems that had already been diagnosed by Carl Hospital, they now found a large tumor about the size of an orange, and they would recommend a possible hysterectomy for me. And the doctor concluded his summary with these words. So, Mr. and Mrs. Lehman, I highly recommend that you consider adopting children. There is a 90% plus chance you will never conceive your own child. Well, that was the worst news. Absolutely. But I didn't cry. I didn't fall into a total pit of despair as I had done hundreds of other times because I thought to myself, wait, the first part of that word from God is true. You're going to get really bad news. Maybe the second half. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Okay. So, in a few days, we drove the 2 hours to Indianapolis to attend the miracle meeting, and we walked in, except the speaker didn't talk at all about miracles. He didn't even pray for the sick. He spent the whole time preaching from Acts 2. We just read that in our one-year Bible about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all. Men and women, young and old, rich and poor. That was so confusing to Happy and me because we'd been believers for 5 years. We basically knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. We'd actually been warned, stay away from those crazy charismatics. Like, okay, but here we are among them. I was so hungry. I was so stirred. We drove home. Yeah, we were disappointed. But we were determined. We're going to look into this Holy Spirit stuff. We're going to do a Bible study. Okay. So that night, unable to sleep, I crept out of bed. I went downstairs to our office. And there on that May night, 49 years ago, as the moon penetrated the darkness and the clock struck midnight, I knelt down by the couch. And I asked Jesus not to give me a baby, as I had hundreds of times before, but to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what I was asking or doing, but I sensed a bubbling up from what I now know is that river of living water, the Holy Spirit who lives in all of us but often lies dormant. And I welcomed him to come. He gave me the precious gift of speaking in tongues. And then I walked back upstairs and went to sleep. But the next morning, when I opened the Bible, the most precious thing happened. The Holy Spirit, who I'd just been baptized in, the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus. See, that's what he does best. And I saw, oh my goodness, I saw what the writer of Hebrews said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm like, it's true. It's true. Once a healer, always a healer. He never stopped doing miracles. He even sends us to do miracles now. Oh, the Holy Spirit is such a magnificent teacher and revealer of Jesus. Now, I knew who Jesus was, and I also discovered I could really know God's will because I could believe what was written. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of things I had to understand about the role of the Old Testament and contrast it with the new, but that would come later. And I began to do a very serious search and study in my Bible on healing and barrenness. And right away, I bumped into second book of the Old Testament, Exodus, where God says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, obedience is important, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. And here's the important part, for I am the Lord, your healer. It's a revelation of one of his names. That means that's who he is. I am Yahweh, Jehovah, some people say. Your healer, your physician. And I want to say, after almost 50 years, he is the best doctor ever. He's faithful. He is a God who does the impossible. So now I thought, okay, I know his will. His will is healing, family, children, health, freedom from disease. How do I receive that? Well, the Holy Spirit was ready to teach us the power of the prayer of faith. Let me stop here, for those of you who might be getting bored with the story, and give you a few lessons, okay? Because these are foundational truths that have stayed 100% important in our church history. And it is this. We teach and practice the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit without apology, without shame, over and over and over. We honor the Holy Spirit. We welcome him as the third member of the Trinity, the indwelling presence of God himself. And I'll say, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, do not leave today without receiving prayer. Okay, secondly, we teach and practice the absolute importance and commitment to God's word, the truth of God's word, reading God's word, letting the Holy Spirit teach you God's word. If you don't have a one-year Bible, stop by the lounge today, receive a complimentary copy, and then why not join one of our small groups where we weekly discuss the sermons? Or I hear the hand stats. There are a couple here. They're actually focusing their whole summer on kingdom healing in their small group. Okay, thirdly, we believe all can prophesy. We can bring encouragement to other people, just like Scott did to Hap, just like Hap did to me. We train you here in the prophetic. We have a class called Prophetic 101, and we actually have prophetic small groups where you can practice. Because we know, you know, we're going to make mistakes, that we grow, we believe. Lastly, and most importantly, our God, Yahweh Rapha, is the Lord, our healer, and he never changes. He wants his family healthy and whole. Okay, let's go on. Well, we soon discovered the power and the importance of prayer. You know, like we often say, talking with God, listening to God, but I want you to know, the number one translation for the word prayer in the scripture is ask. God actually wants us to ask. Well, I grew up thinking prayer was just rote, ritual, mindless, boring things you did just to get done with, right? I discovered, no, prayer is powerful. There's so many scriptures, but the one that Happy and I grabbed onto was written by the Apostle John, and he said this, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Like, wow. Well, we know his will. We know he hears us. Well, we didn't really feel confident praying for ourselves. So we were very hungry, though, and we were very humble and very teachable. So we started visiting other churches and asking them to pray for us, to be healed, and to have the blessing of a baby. But God had other things for us, because everywhere we went, people were kind. But when I said, you know, we want this prayer for the baby, well, we don't know God's will. We want to say, if it be God's will. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I know God's will. So we came home. I know God's will, because I wrote out every scripture on healing, every scripture on barrenness, every scripture on prayer. Now, this was before computers, folks. You can't cut and paste. This takes a long time, right? Okay. And then Happy and I composed a prayer, dated it in May 1977. And then we held hands and prayed, just like we still do every morning. And we prayed that prayer. And we said, Father, thank you for giving us this baby. We thank you for your faithfulness. You are our healer. Done. Woo! Couldn't wait to tell our family. They thought we were crazy. Couldn't wait to tell our doctor. He really thought we were crazy, because I said, we don't need your help anymore. We were back at Carl. But when we told our small group, they were awesome. They encouraged us. And they started gathering in our home, sitting on our couch, which famously became known as the power couch, as we laid hands and prayed for them to be baptized in the Spirit, for them to be free from demons, to be healed of diseases. But I had no sign of anything. No healing. Nothing changing. And so we waited, and we waited, and we waited. Summer's over, teaching begins again, year 5, Weber School. And this is where I learned such important lessons about the power and the role of faith. We're going to spend a whole message on faith, but this is so clear. The writing of Hebrews, writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we knew from Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I add, not felt. See, I wanted to look at my body. I wanted to look for signs. I wanted that to be the focus of my faith. And God said, no, faith in me is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you don't yet see. I can cheer now, but that was miserable. How do you strengthen your faith? When you're waiting, when nothing changes, when you're growing doubtful, fearful, discouraged, are we crazy? Lessons. I still do these today. I go right to God's word. I invite the Holy Spirit to put it deep into my heart, to renew my mind. I pray these scriptures. I confess these scriptures. I sing these scriptures. I thank God for the truth, because you see, it's not even the scriptures per se. It's the Savior behind the scriptures. And that is what it's all about. And he is the author, and he is the finisher of your faith. Now, I try to keep my heart clear Is there any obstacle? Am I drifting into jealousy again? Am I getting a critical spirit? Having so much doubt and discouragement and disappointment? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me. Thank you for Jesus' forgiveness. Thank you for a fresh start. And then thank you for a small group, a community. You can't do this without a community. Perseverance in faith requires other people. Okay, now it's April 1978. Almost a year since we prayed the prayer, and we get the letter from the adoption agency, Illinois Children's Home and Aid Society. We'd almost totally forgotten we had contacted them several years back at the beginning of our infertility journey, and they'd done the home study. We'd filled out all the forms, and they let us know our baby was coming in a couple months, so prepare. So that night, as Happy and I were praying, we heard God say, not again audibly, just rose up, "Why are you adopting a baby?" You know you can't fool God. We all try, but I said, "Well, God, you're for adoption." "Yes," he said, "but I'm asking you, why are you adopting a baby?" I knew I had to be honest. I had to confess. Because I don't think you're actually going to come through. You know, being honest with God is one of the most important things ever, ever, ever. Of course, he already knows. But we constantly try to fool ourselves, or we fool others. But this root of unbelief and doubt, and even belief in myself over God, it had to be uprooted. And then to demonstrate that that was happening, and that we were truly repenting, we had to act differently. You see, faith without works is dead. So the next morning, on April 22nd, 1978, we wrote a letter to the adoption agency and said, "Please, take our name off. Give this child to the next couple." Now, I did sense faith from Jesus enter my heart. Again, he's the author and finisher of faith. Now, it's not to say I had no doubts or fears. I had a fresh confidence, but I stuck to, you know, anchoring my mind and heart daily with the scripture, praise, thankfulness, confession. And now school's out. I'm done teaching for the year. I'm working on my doctorate at U of I. I'm swimming daily at what used to be called Impey. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am maintaining faith in Jesus and his gift of a baby, but no real signs. The struggle is real. I felt a little bit off. I hadn't been back to the doctor for 15 months, and so mid-July, I make an appointment, not with my doctor, but with one of his partners. You see, it's true. I had made kind of a scene in the doctor's office when I told him God was going to be working a miracle, and I was slightly embarrassed. So, okay, I'll go to his partner. He doesn't know any of this. So the doctor began to examine me and looking at, you know, your chart and everything. He said, "Well, you know, you're 27 years old. Looks like you're almost in menopause, because you haven't had a menstrual period for over 4 years. You got all these other symptoms. I'm going to do a full check." So, okay, he began to check. He mysteriously then gets up, leaves the room, and came back, and he had this little machine, and he put it right on my belly, and he said, "Listen. Someone is living in you," and he didn't mean Jesus. Of course, you have on those flimsy hospital gowns. Did I care? I jumped off the table, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Thank you, Jesus. ran and got my doctor, who looked at me and said, "It's a miracle." And I said, "Yes, God is still doing miracles." You see, I was 3 months pregnant, probably conceived around April 22nd, 1978, the very day we wrote the letter to the adoption agency. Our firstborn son, Jonathan David Lehman, there he is, born January 26, 1979. Yes, God birthed the miracle baby, and out of that experience, not only came four more children, but 19 awesome grandchildren. More importantly, though, God wasn't just birthing a baby. He was birthing a church, the Vineyard Church of Central Illinois. And I want you to know the very things I share today still remain the foundations that the Holy Spirit taught us during that initial journey, that Jesus will always be the hero. He is the healer. By the way, the worship team can come out because I'm way over on my time. But we will always welcome and honor the Holy Spirit. We will always make God's word a top priority. We will always make faith and the prayer of faith, trusting God during difficult circumstances, a priority. We will always stay hungry, humble, teachable, and committed to doing life in community. Folks, over this summer, we're going to share many lessons from the Holy Spirit, new insights. This is a challenging subject. Pray. We want everyone to be awakened to wholeness, and we want to join our faith and actions to see God bless us with 500 healings in the next year. Amen. Let's stand to worship.